Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Somebody complained I never preached from the Old Testament, and Pam, I think Pastor Pam kind of looked back a few weeks, and it had been several months I had only been speaking from the Old Testament. So I don't know where that person was getting from, but I love Old Testament. I love Old Testament scripture, and I want to just take you back real quick into the book of Genesis chapter. How much further back in the Old Testament can you get? I'm just saying. And by the way, if you're on the broadcast, thank you for joining us this morning. We really are thrilled you're here. There is a sweet anointing in this room today. There is a sweet anointing in this room today. The Spirit of the living God is in this room today, and religion is dead. And Jesus is free. Got one back here applauding. I said, religion is dead. Jesus is free. Everybody say, religion is dead. Jesus. Set me free. Woo! I think I can handle that. There was this one individual in the book of Genesis chapter 6. His name was Noah. And I just want to tell the story. Noah was notably in his day a righteous man. Did you know that? I know that because the Bible says it. Noah was a righteous man. I just want to tell you the story real quick. Check it out. Genesis chapter 6. And it's about the story of the flood. And I'm going to tell you, I imagine that Noah was, you know, had his sons, his three sons and their daughters, and of course Noah's wife, and God recognizes that the earth is full of sin, and he laments that he ever created man. And he laments that he ever created anything that could breathe. Even the ones that slithered along the ground, the Bible says. He lamented that he created him, so he said, I'm going to destroy the earth. There's this one phrase that I love that is found in chapter 6, verse 8. It says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Can I just say this? The righteousness of one man gets God's attention. I didn't say the big works. I didn't say preaching to 10,000 impresses God. No. Who do you think put the audience there anyway? If there's anything impressive about it, it's about how impressive God is and the works of God. But that is not about me. God, this is what the Bible says. Noah's righteousness got God's attention, and the eyes of the Lord were upon Noah, and he found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And he said, Noah, yes, Lord. Another one of these. Kind of, yes, Lord. Abraham's response was, here I am. Well, this one was, oh, yes, Lord. He said, I want you to build an ark. And here's what it looks like. Here's the blueprints. And he gives Noah in chapter 6 the blueprints to the ark. He said, I'm going to destroy all the... Can you imagine Noah saying, you're going to what? You're going to do what? When? You got to be kidding. Can you imagine? Let's be human about this. Let's not just be religious about this and only read the words. Imagine the story in human form. It really was that way. Can you imagine Noah going, where am I going to get all that kind of wood? How am I going to cut all that? This is going to take some time. Are you serious? Are you really serious? I'm the one guy that can build it. I'm the carpenter. I'm the tree saw down guy. Are you serious? I gotta make the pitch. I gotta stir up the tar. You got to be, all of a sudden, it's all on me. Because they all are bad. Not me. I have to do this because they're bad. Has you ever been in a position where something impacted you because everybody else did it wrong? Your boss called you in and had a team meeting of all 30 of you to get the point across to one person? We have to have an hour team meeting because the boss can't talk directly to the one individual that needs to be talked to? How many of you are teachers in this room? You ever had that happen? Oh, yeah, the principal calls you down the hall. My father-in-law was a principal. Sorry, Gina. By the way, hi, Dallas, Texas. That's where Gina is at with her cousin today that was in our wedding 40 years ago. Don't let me forget where I was going with that thought. You know my thought life. So she's down there with Penny, her cousin, who was in our wedding. The very first picture Gina and I have of each other, Penny's in that picture. Well, that's where she's at today in Dallas, Texas, spending time there. So having said that, where was I at? So your boss calls you in and everybody gets scolded. And here's Noah. Yeah, I got to do what? I got to build this. You mean we get to get on it, though, right? Can you imagine? I am building an ark for us, right? Yeah, and there's no such recorded conversation. But I know if I'm on this end of this, that's the conversation I'm having. I want to make sure there's room for at least six of us on this or eight of us on this. 2, 4, 6, 8. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Anyway, it's Noah and his wife, the three sons, and whatever that math comes out to. 8. I went to Riverview. Don't blame me. Never took math after Riverview. Anyway. Sorry. But having said that, graduated from Parkway North. Thank God it was redeeming, wasn't it? Having said that, I got to build this ark. Okay, so he builds the ark. God tells him, it goes right on into chapter 7, God tells him, you and your wife and your sons and their wives, get on there, and here are the animals that you're to bring on there. Here are the unclean animals, here are the clean animals, you got to get them on there. This is what you have to do. All of this work, because they're bad. Because of their godlessness, I got to do all this work. Now, of course, he knows now that this is saving his family. Do you know there is one man who's known for an ark? Do you know what this man should be known for? Saving the future of all humanity. His righteousness actually got God's attention, and he saved not only humanity of man, but all creation. This man should be known as one of the greatest heroes of the faith, because he actually saved the future of all humanity and the earth. Because God wanted to destroy the whole earth. And he saved because of him, these animals, because of his righteousness, board the ark. By God's grace. Don't tell me God's grace wasn't active before Jesus. I got news. Abraham's faith was created to him as righteousness. That's an act of grace. Right? It is. It's an act of grace. So the story of Noah, I look at this guy who really just didn't get applauded by men. In fact, if you read the story, it was anything but being applauded by man. And he's building this ark, ridiculed by man, his religious, this is what he was a religious fanatic. Why? Because he trusted God. The man had gone so far away, and by the way, does this sound familiar? Man had gone so far away from God that it seemed odd that anyone would pray. Or that anyone would invoke the name of the Creator. It seems strange and foreign to them because, and people say, well, they live under conviction. I don't know that that's it anymore. There is some of that. There is some of that. But truly, it's a totally dismissing God from ever existing. It's an ignoring of who He is, and He is the Creator. And man got to that point, and Noah was ridiculed. And I think of how he must have felt when he boarded that ark, knowing that all of the ridiculers went. Did you know the Bible, it doesn't say that Noah shut the door. God shut the door. There's going to come a day where God shuts the door again. There's going to come a day where God, that's a prophetic thing. That's a prophetic picture. There's coming a day when God shuts the door again. And all the names that are in the book of life, he will read them and he will close the door. This man should be known not for an ark, but because he saved the future of all humanity. I was watching a story, or actually, I love YouTube. I've learned to love YouTube on my cable. I can watch anything on there. Do you love that too, Vanessa? I have learned to love YouTube because I can watch everything. I have learned more about where Adolf Hitler went. I don't know if any of it's true, but I have learned more about what people say other historic options were. You know, all kinds of things. And so anyway, I was buzzing through there. And how many of you remember Johnny Carson with The Tonight Show? You old enough to remember da 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 that song. So and then Megan would be in bed with Gina and I, and Megan would say, "Here's Johnny," right? So the Tonight Show opened the theme song. I'm like, I got a whole thing of The Tonight Show on. I can watch as much Johnny Carson as I want to. So I'm watching Johnny Carson, and Ed McMahon does the "Here's Johnny." Johnny comes out. And John, it was a different night. It was a very different night for Johnny Carson. And he said, "I have a guest tonight that I just consider one of my most precious friends." And I'm sitting here thinking, that's interesting. You know, he said, just a very precious friend. Whenever I have issues and problems, he said, many in our industry actually call this man when we have issues. His name is Dr. Billy Graham. And he said, I would like to invite Dr. Graham out. He brought him out. I mean, there was no monologue of disrespect or of it. It changed the room. And I'm watching this whole episode of The Tonight Show with Dr. Billy Graham sitting, and he comes out. The place is going nuts. I mean, the place is absolutely going nuts. And the band is applauding. The band is standing ovation. This is Dr. Billy Graham, who, by the way, doesn't represent the main kind of lifestyle a lot of entertainers live, just as a whole. I'm not saying there aren't believers. Of course there are. There are well-known believers, like the Jonas Brothers, for example, the family of the Jonas Brothers. Well-known believers. They are actually the voice into Hollywood for Convoy of Hope. There are well-known entertainers that love Jesus Christ. I mean, well-known entertainers that are actually part of the Convoy of Hope team, and spokesperson like Drew Brees is our spokesperson into the football world. Having said that, Johnny invites me. He has Dr. Graham sit down, and he said, "Billy, can I ask you some hard questions?" He said, and he did. He said, I don't mean to get personal, but have you ever seen an X-rated movie? I'm sitting there going, "Woo!" Talk about us slinging a question at him, and you should have heard the answer that he gave. It was just a beautiful answer. I'm not going to tell you. Go Google it. Anyway, there I left you with that one. But it was a great answer, and I really appreciated his answer and his honesty. I really appreciated it. But as he got going, it was Johnny that actually said, "Dr. Graham, I've got to tell the audience, maybe they don't know about it. You were just in," and it was either the Philippines or it was one of the countries, island type of countries. And he said, is this true? He said, "You just had the largest mass gathering in the history of man. Is that true at one of your revivals? Is that true?" Billy put his head down. There's this humble brother that, by the way, have you ever seen Billy Graham live? I've seen him twice live. Raise your hand if you've ever seen Billy Graham. Okay. This humble brother in the faith walks up there. Who was it that escorted him up to his pulpit last time he was in St. Louis? One of the artists, the vocalists. DC Talk? It was the four of them, DC Talk. Okay, escorted him up there. So anyway, so here's this humble brother, walks up to his pulpit. So on The Tonight Show, he says, "Yes, John, it was, we are told by the government, and I believe it was the Philippines, they had a way to count it. They had actually set up for miles these blocks of like 50. Blocks of 50. They would put 50 people in each block. And this went on for miles this way and a few miles that way." And he said, "But Dr. Graham, tell them how many people were there." He said, "Well, there were a lot of people." There were just a lot of people. He said, "No." He said, Johnny was the one who pushed it. Johnny Carson is the one who said, "This was amazing. You had well over 1,100,000 people gathered in one church service." And he said, "Well, it may have been a little less. It may have been a little more. We don't know." And I'm sitting there going, oh my goodness. He's not pushing himself. He's not touting himself. He said, "Well, what makes you do this?" Well, he said, "Well, the fact that, Johnny, God loves me so much that he gave his one and only son." It's a basic humility a spirit that is coming out of him. And he tells the story. He says, and Johnny, you know, you're a sinner and Ed's a sinner. And Johnny goes, yeah, he sure is. Yeah, he sure is. And Johnny's going, or Ed's over there going, yeah, oh yeah, I am. I am. He said, but you know, Ed, Jesus Christ died for you too. And he said, he died for every one of you in the audience and all of you that are watching this TV. He said, I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you. And I'm sitting there going, I doubt seriously that Billy Graham told God 50 years ago, I won't go unless you put me on TV around the world with a guy like, you know, Johnny Carson. I won't go unless you give me 1,100,000 people in one audience. God, I'm not going to go. I'll bet you nobody prophesied over Billy Graham that he was going to preach to more people in the world than any other human being shy of Jesus himself. And yet Billy just goes. There's Ruth. She gets off the plane. They showed Billy and Ruth getting off the plane and they were gathered. You should have seen tens of thousands of people that are gathered to welcome them off the plane. Tens of thousands of people along the roadways. You would have thought it was a bigger crowd than the President of the United States would have ever drawn onto the streets of, I think it was the Philippines. Because of impact. You see, Billy Graham fell in love with God and he fell in love with impacting people. It's what I said earlier, that God produces things in us that's pleasing to him. And then out of that was born, for Billy Graham, was born this exterior event that took place time after time after time after time. By the way, with great credibility, because he stood the test of time. Because he stood the test of time. I remember years ago, I had a gentleman that I love dearly, treasure dearly, and I mean, I really do to this day. He's a precious friend. And years ago, I had asked him if he would consider teaching at the church that I was pastoring at the time. And he said, I would be honored. I would love that. I would really, really love that. He said, but you got to guarantee me no less than 60 in each class. I said, well, here we teach that one is worth discipling. One is worth teaching. One is, Jesus said, I'll leave the 99 and he'd go to the one. Jesus said it, not me. Jesus said, I value the one because the 99 are doing great. They're doing great. I don't need the applause of the 99. I got a guy in the gutter over here that needs me much more than they do. So I'll leave another shepherd to care for them. But we don't want that shepherd. No. We don't want that shepherd. So he told me, he said, no, I need 60. If you can't guarantee me 60, I don't want to teach. I said, I guess we won't be teaching. Because it's not about a guaranteed number. It's about servanthood. If one shows up, teach them well. Oh my goodness, can you imagine the opportunity of teaching the one, one-on-one? Can you imagine? I think Jesus did an amazing job of that. Now, he would take on the 13 or the 12, and eventually there was another one added. But listen, the opportunity to serve people, it's not about the applause of men, but rather it is about the applause of heaven. I just want to share that with you this morning, just kind of leave this thought with you, that in the days to come, instead of looking for us to have these great events and looking at numbers and letting numbers declare our success, I would say, let love determine our success. Let the love, first of all, that we have for God. Alyssa and I were talking just before church this morning. We were talking about loving God with all of our hearts and with all of our minds and all of our strength, and then loving people as ourselves. Can you imagine if we ever really got to the point where we said to God, and this is where Gina and I came to with St. Charles River Church years ago. Some of you know we've done this. We actually went to the Lord in prayer and we said, Lord, we don't know why SCRC does just not explode. We don't know why it just doesn't explode in growth. We don't know. But here's what we'll commit to you. We will pastor whoever you send us. We will love whoever you send us. We will teach whoever you send us. And I'll bet you, I got comfortable with that. I actually got comfortable with the idea that it's not about the mega number. It is mega impact. Now that is what I believe we're about, impacting the heart of God. Again, I go back to one man's, listen to this and I'm going to wrap this up. One man's righteousness gets the attention of God. One woman's righteousness. I believe when Anna does what she does, I believe heaven stands there and applauds. I believe that with all of my heart, that heaven is applauding Anna Inouye. And I believe that every time you give an offering to feed the children in the Itai orphanage, I believe heaven is applauding you, and no one else knows it. No one else knows it. I can't tell you how many times Gina has later said, by the way, I wanted you to know that I did this. I gave this to Itai. And I'm like, I didn't know that. Anna told me something not long ago. I didn't know that. I had no clue. I mean, it was great news. And Gina said, yeah, I did do that. I'm like, that, my wife doesn't even want my applause. That's a refreshing thing. It really is a refreshing thing because I usually like hers. Don't we, guys? Don't we like our wives saying, you are so cute. You are so good. Don't we like that kind of stuff? Admit it. Don't you dare act like you don't care. Don't you dare. I'll call you up here and make you admit it in front of the whole church. Listen, there's this idea that heaven is just ready to pounce and applaud for the humble. Because in the humility, the Billy Grahams of the world, he raises up the mighty. He raises up a guy to build a boat. You know the famous line in Jaws, I think we're going to need a bigger boat. And wouldn't you know, Noah would have given anything not to have to build it the size he built it. You know, could we just have a short board, you know, with one motor on the back and, you know, kind of, does it have to be this with all the stinking animals that are going to, couldn't you just create another cow? Couldn't you just create another cow? Do you know how bad that thing's going to smell after 150 days? Can you imagine the thoughts that went through Noah's mind? But no, see, humility raises up greatness. And instead of us demanding that it be great before we ever get started, how about we value loving God and loving people as we do ourselves? Heavenly Father, we come to you. We simply say, yes, Lord, to your will and to your good pleasure. Teach us what it is to be faithful to you. Teach us what it is to be faithful to you. Faithful to you. Not faithful to this dream, or faithful to the hopes and the things that we hope for someday and that we want to accomplish. Instead of being faithful to things that we accomplish, teach us to be faithful to you. And to be faithful to loving you by loving people. And let the kindness of God show through us, not the judgmentalism of religion. Because let me say again, Lord, because you did do this. You canceled religion and you set us free to a personal, intimate relationship with you so that we could discover who you are for me. And not for somebody else, but who you are for me. And you've set me free to be me in you. In the name of Jesus. And every believer said, amen. Give the Lord a huge hand, guys.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.